Morning, everyone. I like that that chapter for no other reason than it gives you an idea of what travel used to be like. Makes me feel a little bit better when I complain about how little legroom I have in my plane that flies through the sky. Anyhow, a lot of names and places, proper nouns. It's tough stuff. Good to see you guys. This week was not an easy week for me, but it also was a testament to remind me how far I've come in my own journey. If I had had a week like I had this week a couple years ago, I would have been thunderheads just coming in. And I think it's important to keep that kind of perspective. I am coaching my daughter's volleyball team, and I hate every second of it. I'm trying to flip the script, but I'm having a really hard time with it. And we've lost all three of our games, and the girls are so discouraged. Like, they won't come into the huddle after the game. Like, we had brought snacks, and they just, like, walked away. And I was a little irritated at their parents, like, you know, that you would just, like, let them mope and walk away. But I can't change any of that. But I was trying to tell them that the first two games we should have won, but we kind of just lost. And I've been telling them that, you know, it's a Mar Vista Parks and Rec League, right? There's no scouts for college here. We're just doing the best we can. And the third game, we actually played our best. We just happened to play a team that was really good. And I was trying to remind them, all they could see was that they lost. And they lost bad. I mean, we got our lunch money stolen. But where they had been, especially some of these girls had never played volleyball. And they're getting their serves in, and they're calling, and they're talking, and they're moving. When they forgot how embarrassed they were about the score, they were really playing well. And I find myself, you know, if I look at things as a whole, I can get down on myself. But when I see how far I've come, that's so much more important than any other extraneous things. And that's kind of what I want to talk about today. I'll start out with a little history. Being a provisional pastor is a new step in my life. Most pastors, they only have the job of being a pastor. Dad was driving taxis and, you know, being a law clerk and everything, but most of the time they only have the one job, and that's because it's hard to search for God and also bag groceries. Because of all of the things that come around in our lives that cause us such consternation. In fact, in the past, all throughout history, every society, whatever person or group of people has been chosen to be the religious leader, that's their only job. And they set out apart from the community to find some kind of clarity. That makes sense. Whether you're a shaman of the Native Americans or a Buddhist monk or a Shinto priest, the idea is you're set apart from society. The Christians really had this because we have this concept of sin. So Jesus says, if you've thought the thing, then you've done it. Well, if you are a priest living around women, that could be problematic because you're going to be thinking a lot of things. So what's the best way to do? You move away from the society and you become monks. And you live together and you have your rules and you fast and you read and you pray and you take vows of chastity and vows of poverty and all this and that and the other. But even then, maybe as you're eating your daily gruel, Brother Gregorius over here is slurping on his spoon and now you're thinking about that. So to get even holier than that, you go out into the hinterlands. And those people are called hermits. And they would live in a cave like John the Baptist, just eating locusts and wild honey. if you want to be the OG of like dedicating your life solely to finding God, there were a group of people called stylites. And it comes from the Latin word stylus. We know those as the things that you write on your iPad with. But what they would do is they would create a tall column, and then a plank would be placed on top of the column, and then they would sit on the column for like years, sometimes until they died. And every day, like followers or disciples would like bring them food with a stick. And that's all they would do is just pray, right? You don't have to worry about traffic. You don't have to worry about your wife. You don't have to worry about the kids cleaning their room. You just pray all day. And these people became so famous, especially in the Middle Ages, that people would travel all around just to touch the stylus. And then if there was an especially holy man, after he died, they would chip away little bits of the rock that made his pillar, and they would mix it with water and drink it like a potion. Because everybody, myself included, is constantly looking for happiness, for salvation, for peace, for love, but all of them are looking for it out there. Constantly looking out there. If I drink this potion, if I listen to this guy, if I go to this seminar, if I say these words, then I will get the thing that I want. But I would argue that everything that we need to be happy, that we need to be peaceful and fulfilled, is already inside of us. It's just a matter of finding a way to access it. When I was in college, I took a number of like religious study classes, and I was always fascinated by like Hindu, Buddhist, and Eastern thought. Maybe if I was a rock band, I'd be like the Beatles and drinking Darjeeling and playing a sitar or whatever. But I was fascinated by it because it seemed so foreign to the way that I had been brought up. So I took classes on, you know, everything from Hinduism to Shintoism and Taoism, all the isms, Todd, all the isms that you could have. And most of you are probably familiar with Taoism, even if you don't know that. Taoism, their symbol is the yin and yang. Todd and I watched Karate Kid when we were young. You have the yin and yang on your gi when you go to your dojo. And Taoism is kind of hard to say because it's very, it's not like a centralized religion like Catholicism is, but the word Tao means the way or the path. And one of the reasons that I think it's important, you know, part of my prayer is I focus on my breathing. So I kind of do this every morning for like 15 minutes, and then I pray for all of the people in my life for 20 minutes. So in my opinion, and everybody's got their own way, the slowing down the breathing like we did today allows me to stop thinking about all of this out here. Is Putin going to launch a nuclear missile? Are the people that I don't like politically, are they going to win? And all of these things that clutter our minds. I spend the first third, or sometimes even half of my prayer time, trying to get that away so that I can access the tool that I was given, the Holy Spirit. And then, when I'm able to do that, I feel like I can pray in power. Did that make sense? Instead of just like a Christmas wish list, I feel like the most powerful computing device that's ever been created by anyone that we know of is our brain. So I got to find a way to utilize it. And I can't utilize it if it's constantly all over the place. like a kitten. I've got to focus it. And breathing and focusing on my breathing and my body helps me to do that. Now, most people, when they think of breathing, they think of meditation. And meditation is a thing that people from other countries do, right? If I talked about meditation with my students at Redeemer, I would have some very upset parents. But I like doing this because, A, I think we spend a lot of time focusing on the things that make us different rather than the things that make us alike. God created people in India just like He created people in France and Mexico. He put His law on their heart just like He put His law on my heart. They know this. They know they should love just like I know we should love. And just because they've called it different names doesn't mean that we're not talking about the same person. And I believe that there's similarities in this idea of Taoism. Taoism means the path, the way. Some people say the method. And the first quote, the first line of their, it's not really their Bible because they don't have a Bible, but one of their seminal works is, it's the book's called The Tao Te Ching, and it says, "The Tao, the way, the Tao that can be spoken is not the true Tao." Now, that's cryptic. But I would argue, when I read that, what it evoked in me is the way to truth, to life, to love cannot be conveyed through words alone. You must find it yourself. If it was just through words, then when Jesus was here, He would have spoken those words. And then we would all speak those words and already have the thing we so desperately want. But the way is clouded. I know many Christians who are wonderful people. And I know many Christians who are worse than the people who aren't Christians. So the dogma alone is not enough to get me what I want. Peace in my mind. Health in my body. Love in my relationships. I need something more. I listened for 36 years to a great man speak words of wisdom. But it wasn't until I started walking the path that I ever got it. The Tao can't be spoken. The path cannot be spoken. You must walk it yourself. But the beauty is that the path can be walked irregardless of anything that is out there. And that's what I want. I've said it before and I'm going to continue to say it and I'm going to speak about it today. All that we need to be happy is already inside of us. We already have the counselor. We just got to walk it out. Jesus says, by your standard of measure, it will be measured. Or if my dad was saying, by your standard of measure, it will be measured. That always said measure and treasure instead of measure and treasure. I'll give you some examples. When I was coaching, I told them I wasn't a very good volleyball coach. I only played like 2 years in high school. I didn't know what I was doing, but they needed an adult human to be in the building. And I was like, well, I think I checked those marks. We were kind of struggling, and I could see the girls were a little frustrated. And there was this guy who worked in there, and he played volleyball all the time. And his name's Damien, and so he started coaching, like helping me run the drills and things like that. And the girls started having fun, and things were going great. And then we had the game and the warm-ups. They were going well, and then they all sat down, and we started to lose. And all of the positive feelings started to fade away quickly. It's funny how losing will do that to you. And then I started thinking about all of the things the parents as they're all crossed-armed sitting on the bench over there watching their girls get absolutely whiplashed by these kids. And then I started thinking about the girls and thinking like, well, maybe it's because they don't think of me as a good coach. They think of him as a good coach. And if he's coaching during practice and I'm coaching during the game, then maybe he's the real coach and I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm just like speaking here now, but he's the one who's doing all the things. And I started to measure myself by them, by him. You understand? And I found myself lacking, as we often will. The people who moved into the house next to me, he's like a phantom in the night, Hector. I very rarely see him. I know that he drives a nice car, two nice cars, and that he has a very big TV in the house. They bought it and they like renovated it. It looks awesome. They rebuilt the fence, and on his side, the fence is like this. On my side, the fence is like, meh. And Judy walks across our lawn, and I say, baby, you're going to kill all the weeds. Walk on the cement. We want to water the weeds when it starts to rain. And I've been meaning to speak to him because Judd had asked me to do something about the fence or whatever, but I kind of feel self-conscious, to be honest. And I got home from work last night, and I was just in my Trader Joe's stuff. I got my box cutter, and my name says Gabe, so everybody knows who I am when they're mad that we don't have eggs. And I saw him coming out, and I was like, oh, dude, I got to talk to that guy about the fence. And he came out, and he didn't have a shirt on. He was just like in his PJs, like PJ bottoms. And he works out. We'll leave it at that without making it weird. He works out, and he was walking out to his like brand new 2023 Audi A4. And I had to walk past my old Ford Edge that's like beat up from the feet up, and my fence leaning, like it's just either drunk or dying, past the weeds with my Trader Joe's gear on. And I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. I couldn't bring myself to talk to this guy because I was so embarrassed of my tawdry rags. My standard of measure. You understand? As much progress as I have made, I have miles to go. Because I still find myself, often I find peace and happiness. This was a particularly rough week. And I come up here and try and share my journey with you honestly. And I've made so much progress, but this week was tough. And I continued to measure myself by other people. And I continued to find myself lacking. I don't know what that man's life is like. But my life is good. Aiden started working at Trader Joe's, and he's loving it. And the people love him. And we worked together. And it was so good. It was a connection, and my relationship with him was great, and Trader Joe's is giving me all these opportunities. And in the moment when I'm connected with the Holy Spirit, I needed nothing. But a day later, 2 days later, instead of being proud of my job at Trader Joe's and my relationship with my son, I'm embarrassed of my old stuff. Nothing had changed except what I was considering to be the standard of measure. If I'm not okay with myself, if I am not seeking with integrity the Holy Spirit, there is nothing out there that will ever give me the peace. Let's say somehow I quit Trader Joe's and got a job where I made a lot of money and I bought a nice house and I bought a nice car. If I'm that kind of person, then I'll just continue looking at the other people's stuff. Oh, well, I got an Audi A4, but he's got a blah, blah, blah. Because it will never be enough. It will never be enough until I decide it's enough. until I stop worrying about what everybody else is and focus on my own path, my own journey. And when I do, there's peace, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of what's on the news, regardless of my neighbors, regardless of any of that. I find peace when I'm following the path laid out by the Holy Spirit. How easily we miss all of that. There 90% of the world's population would do anything to live where I live. They'll walk across deserts. They'll smuggle themselves in, and I wake up every day without, not fear of the police, not in fear of the government, not in fear of the other armies, not in fear of anything. My only fear was that this guy's house looks better than mine. How silly. How utterly contemptible. But we do this in all things. The coaching. You know how many parents I see get upset about their kids' volleyball game or baseball game? Those of us on the outside look and be like, what are you, a child? But we have our own thing. Aiden working at Trader Joe's is going to kill me if I tell the story, but I'll just tell the edited version. He's not here. He didn't wake up in time to go to church. He get bombed on. He was doing his interview, and they were asking him, like, what kind of, what is he like at Trader Joe's, you know, that kind of thing. What's your favorite product? And he was, like, saying that he likes the steak, because he doesn't really like much of the Trader Joe's products, so that's the first thing that he came to mind. And so the managers giving him the interview kind of chuckled at that. I guess nobody had ever said that. Normally they say, like, oh, I love the Japanese fried rice or the puffs or whatever. And so they had told the other managers that that was his response. And they created a little nickname for him. And when he got to work, they called him that nickname. And some of the crew members heard it, and they started calling him that nickname. And when he came home, I was like, hey, man, how was work? He's like, great. And I was like, oh, dude, so good. I'm so glad. I'm so proud of you. I just couldn't be more pleased, man. You're such a good guy, and you're doing great, and everybody loves you. And he's like, yeah, man, they call me blah, 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 blah. And as soon as he said that, my mind shifted quick. Because I took offense. I was like, they called you what? And he's like, they call me this. And I was like, immediately angry. But he was not. He still isn't. Because he has a freedom in that area. I take myself too seriously. I can't help it. I'm really working on it. But I take myself too seriously. So I have not been able to not care about what people refer to me as. You understand? Jesus would not care when he was being crucified and they were hurling insults. He said, forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. Because he was right on the path. He was connected with his Father. So it didn't matter what they called him or what they did to him. He could remain in a place of peace and love even in the most difficult circumstances. But me, because I have so much way to go, the fact that somebody jokingly teased my son, I took secondhand offense. I must work on that. I must continue walking the path. Now, I would say that I have freedoms that Aiden doesn't. I have my own strengths that he needs to work on. But that's the whole point, isn't it? By your standard of measure. I measure things differently when it comes to what people think. I care what people think. I'm working on that. Aiden does not. So he doesn't need to work as hard on that but he still has his own path, and I cannot show it to him. When I was driving, this was months ago, I've gotten much better. I'm telling you all the things that I've been struggling with this week, but I have been doing much better. I used to get angry in traffic. I've been freed to a large extent from that. But I remember Aiden used to ask me, why do you get so angry? And I'd be like, and I would go off on all of the things that everybody is doing wrong, that I'm doing right. And he was like, well, does it really matter? You just don't get it. You just don't, poor boy. Yeah, that's all right, man. You'll get it when you grow up. The wisdom that he was speaking to me, I couldn't accept. I couldn't understand. Because the Tao cannot be spoken. The path can't be told to me. I spend nearly all day, every day, Monday through Friday, trying to explain to children the correct way to live. They can't get it. They might like understand it, but they don't get it. Because they can't get it. They can't get it until they get it themselves. I cannot speak it to them. Just like nobody can speak it to me. But if I'm faithful, I can find it. I found it with the driving in traffic. I found it with my prayer time. I used to try and pray, and I'd pray for 5 minutes. I'd be like, oh my gosh, this is a chore. I hate it. I pray every day now. And I don't say that in an arrogant way. I say it because I'm proud. Because I used to not be able to do that, but now I can. I work out consistently. Not only because I want to make Brennan proud, but also because that's my path. The Lord wants me to be healthy. He created my flesh. And when I'm sick and miserable, I can't walk the path because I'm thinking about how sick and miserable I am. But when I'm healthy, when I feel young and full of vigor, it's easier for me to focus on it. There are wins, there are successes, there are victories, but there's always another battle. But as the Hindu Vedas say, enter the heart of battle with your heart. Enter the heart of battle with your heart as pure as a lotus leaf, a lotus flower, something along that. It's been a while since I've had those. We enter the battle each day committed, but with a pure heart. I don't feel like I explained that well enough. I spoke about this last week. If I'm only doing things because I'm getting something out of them, then I won't be able to continue doing them. If I'm only trying to walk the path or be a good Christian so that everybody else will think I'm a good Christian, then I won't be able to maintain that. I've had these victories. I see these struggles. I continue to work at it. Not for them. For me. The man who is my neighbor, who I very rarely see, I don't even know if he lives there, he just like owns the property and comes there sometimes. He's not thinking about me. He's got his own path. And so any amount of attention that I spend, any amount of energy that I spend thinking about what he thinks is taking me away from the path. It's taking me away from the things that I need to attend to. And there are so many things. But there are so many things that can make me happy that aren't about extraneous things. When I ask the kids sometimes, I say, if you could wish for anything, what would you wish for? And most of the time, Todd, they wish for like money or a mansion or wish they had like superpowers, fly or, right? And if you asked an adult if you could wish for anything, I think most adults would like wish for money or a better job. Maybe not all. Maybe that's cynical. But we want more money so that we can get a bigger house so that we don't have to worry about bills, so that we can have a better car, so that we can buy the things that we think will make us happy. But that isn't happiness. That's thrills. There's nothing wrong with money. But if you're looking to that for your happiness, you're not on the right path. If you are happy, and in your happiness, your job makes you a lot of money, there is obviously nothing wrong with that. But if your primary concern is making money, it's going to be difficult to find the happiness. When I'm on my own path, it doesn't matter what's happening with the volleyball team, or with the coach, or with the parents, or with my neighbor, or with any of it. It doesn't even matter what's happening with my children. When I'm on the right path, I am contented. And the irony is when I'm contented, the other things line up as well. When I'm contented, the girls will be happy to play for me. When I'm contented, Aiden will be happy to spend time with me. When I'm contented, the traffic will become irrelevant. When I'm contented, any amount of money will seem like a bounty. When I'm contented, I don't even see the fence, which is most fun. You understand? I'm not bringing this up to make everybody feel sorry for me about the fence. It is irrelevant. Excuse me. It is irrelevant. All of the happiness, all that I need is already inside of me. It's already inside of you. You just have to find it. By being honest with yourself, by being diligent with your journey, and being aware of the things that are going through your head. This week, be diligent. If you find yourself unhappy at your job, instead of thinking about all of the other things that people need to change, think about what you need to change. If you were sick and you went to a doctor, they wouldn't give a prescription for the other guy. They'd give a prescription for you. If you're unhappy, it's because of you. If you're sad, it's because of you. Not because you're a bad person, but because you have decided that I am unhappy. I made a choice this week. I'm a bad coach. Guess what, Gabe? You're right. My unhappiness springs from my own thoughts. It's because I stopped listening to the Holy Spirit and started listening to the enemy. The one who wants me to be sad. The one who wants me depressed. The one who wants me in the ground. But I don't listen to him. Not anymore. The difference this time was, normally I felt that way about myself all the time. But I walked in and I felt that. And as I got to my door, the Holy Spirit witnessed to me. Gabe, you're not your possessions, dude. You're not your house. You're not your job. You're not your kids. You're not your sadness. You're none of those things. It is irrelevant, the people or circumstances in your life. If you can only be happy because you have awesome family members, then you are not happy. But if you already are happy, then your awesome family members add to that happiness. If you try to live through your children, you're not happy. If you try to live through your job, you're not happy. But if you already are happy, which you can be, then everything else is just on top. I cannot tell you how many years I spent feeling negative, feeling sorry for myself about teaching, us martyr, just flagellating, thinking of all of the things that I have to do. And then I would talk to other people and they'd be like, man, you're really busy. I'd be like, yeah, dude, I'm so busy. Walk around like a martyr. Zero happiness. Enjoy your sanctimonious heaven, Gabe. The happiness is already here. I'm not too busy. I'm not too tired. I'm not too sad. I'm not too stressed. I'm none of those things. I'm not my job. I'm the Son of God. Right now, yesterday, tomorrow. Enjoy your Audi, brother. I mean that. I'm happy. When I take it, I'm happy. But I only take it through my actions. I only take it, I'm not trying to fool myself into being happy. When I pray in the morning, I'm happy. And then things creep in. If I allow them to creep in, I won't be happy. But if I'm dedicated and I pray after work, then I become happy again. It's a power. It's a gift. It's a counselor. It's an aid. It helps me all the time. And it helps me see through the lies of the devil that try and tell me all of the things that I am. Dude, I'm so tired right now. My gosh, I'm so depressed. I cannot tell you how stressed I am. That's not the Tao. It's not the path. It's not the path. It's better for you that I go, because I'm going to send you a helper. So when you feel down on yourself, he's going to remind you, you're not that, Gabe. When you feel anxious, mind you, you're not that, Gabe. I came in depressed today. And I wondered where Ashley was, and my mother said that she's okay, but she's can't tell you, and it was a mystery. And somehow that kicked into when Darcy was sick, nobody told me. They said, Darcy has something to tell you. And I get up in my head, and I start thinking the worst. What is it that they're not telling me? I need the help. It could be good news, even if it's bad news. I need the help. I need it. And it will lead me into everything that I need. With my job, with my money, with my kids, with my fence. The path is laid out before me. The Holy Spirit guides me down it, but I gotta walk. I gotta walk, and when I'm faithful, I'll close with this. Did you guys ever see Indiana Jones and the last one, and the Final Crusade, or the last? Oh, not that one. Sorry, the last good one. Sorry, the Last Crusade, and in he's going through the thing, and he's gotta like dodge the saw and all that kind of stuff. And the last time there's this. A big chasm, and he's got to cross the chasm. And in the book that he's reading, the advice that it's given, right? The penitent man, so he kneels and the saws go over his head. It's so cool. And then he like goes past the thing. In the last one, there's a chasm. It's clearly too far for him to jump, and there's nothing on top for him to like whip his whip or something cool. So he just has to step out. And when he does, the path appears. And he walks across to the other side. Had he jumped, he would have missed it. Had he turned back, he wouldn't have gotten to the grail. The path is already there. He's just got to walk it. The path is already laid out before you. Everything that you will ever need is already laid out before you. You just got to walk it out. Be encouraged this week. The devil will try and rob from you. He'll try and steal your vision of the future and think, my life sucks now, it's going to suck forever. He's going to cause you to look back at things and think like, oh yeah, I should have done this differently, or that was better then. He's going to put scenarios in your mind and people in your life that will make the path difficult to find. But I'm here to tell you, it's there. It is there. Concretely, it is there. Walk it. Walk it and reap the rewards that you deserve. Regardless of everything else. Do not be lied to. Do not be led astray. It is there. You just got to be mindful. When you feel yourself down, take a second to pray. And if you're faithful, He will remind you. You're not your depression. You're not your anxiety. You're not your boyfriend or girlfriend or husband or wife or job. You can walk it in happiness and fulfillment. And when you do, your job will be good. Your relationships will be strong. And you will be living. Be blessed this week. I feel so much better. I feel so much better. It's hard to remember all the time. We got a million things. But it's here, right at our feet. Kingdom of Heaven is at hand. Thank you for giving me this time. We're a community, however big or small. If we added 100 people in this room, would that make Jesus' love any more real? Help with the bills. The path is here, right here with us. We just got to walk it out. I'm going to close in prayer. Lord, you said, if you believe me, the works that I do shall you do also. Well, I believe what you said then, and I believe what you say now. Help me to hear your words and to believe them and follow them, guiding me to the true path. Help all of us this week, Lord, hear your voice. Help us to take time to pray and listen. The devil lies to us about how busy we are. Tell us we just don't have the time for the things that are good for us, but we do have the time. We make time for the things that are important. Help us to make time for you, the most important. Help us to follow your wisdom, your guidance. Help us to discern the lies from the truth. Give us the courage to follow the path. Bring us back next week, healthy, happy, peaceful, filled with wisdom, filled with praise reports of your goodness. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.